Welcome to this message from the Fry Farm campus of Charter Oak Church in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Pastor Dave Eversteyck brings us week three in the series, In His Own Words, called Light of the World. Jesus is light, he gives light, and darkness cannot extinguish him. This message looks at the three qualities of light.
Ever tried to accomplish something, but because it was so dark, you couldn't get it done? You're driving down a desolate, dark stretch of highway. It's the middle of the night, no moon at all. Then you get a flat tire. You reach into the glove box for the flashlight, and it's not there, or the batteries are dead. So you have to somehow change this tire in the dark, in this lonely place. So you start feeling, fumbling your way through the changing of that tire. You first have to try and find where the spare is, and you and I know they never put that thing in the place that you would expect it to be. And so you finally get it out, and then you get to the flat, and you have to take the lug nuts off, and then you pull the tire, and you're putting the spare on. All of that frustrated because instead of the 20 or 30 minutes it would take in the daytime, in the light, it has taken a couple of hours in the dark. Listen to me. There are a lot of people going through life, trying to do life in the dark, fumbling through life. Finding life is very difficult because they don't have the light of Christ in their life. As you read the Gospels, you find Jesus often used metaphors to describe himself. For example, he called himself the bread of heaven, the living water, the good shepherd, among others. And then in John's chapter 8, which is where we're going to be tonight, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Jesus talks about himself as the light of the world. And we're going to begin at the 12th verse. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Now that's important because all of us are searching for a great life, aren't we? Going on. The Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree on about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. Where is your Father, they asked. Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury, but he was not arrested because his time had not yet come. That statement, his time had not yet come, is important. It's often used in the gospel to say this, God has his own timetable. God's timing is perfect. And when it comes to Jesus and his life and his death, well, that was on God's timetable. You see, though the Pharisees wanted to kill him, his time had not yet come. In other words, I want you to get this. In other words, they did not have power to do that. Though eventually, Jesus would die on the cross and be resurrected. So today, we concentrate on the beginning statement in verse 12 of chapter 8, I am the light of the world. We all understand light. We use light all the time. There are all sorts of light we have at our disposal. And all of them have specific purposes. But they all serve one purpose. You have a nightlight in your kid's room. You have a flashlight in your glove compartment. You have a spotlight in your garage door. There's a lighthouse on the coast. Every light is for illumination. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He's trying to illuminate things in our lives that otherwise would be left in darkness. Go back again. We've been referring in this series back to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1, verse 4. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. We know Jesus then, we know he is the light, and he also gives the light. And according to Scripture, that light can never go out. I want you to get it. Jesus, the light, cannot be extinguished by anyone, anything, any way, anyhow. How many of you have, I want to ask this question, raise your hands. How many of you have ever celebrated a birthday with your kids or grandkids with those magic candles that try as the kids might to blow them out, those candles just can't seem to be extinguished? How many of you have ever tried that? Almost every hand in the place. Yeah, we've all abused our kids that way. They're three, and all they want to do is blow out those candles and eat cake. But those blame candles won't go out. And they can't figure it out. It's a mystery. Let's confess it. We get a sick kind of pleasure out of that. It's a bit sadistic watching our kids suffer like that. I will plead guilty to both kids and grandkids. I'm not sure if it's our way of getting even for all those dirty diapers or not, but we do love it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Not even darkness can extinguish me. So tonight I want to give you three qualities of light that come out of this passage. And the first is this: light drives out darkness. Now, note this: light and darkness are not compatible. They are mutually exclusive. You cannot have light and darkness at the same time. You can have varying degrees of light or darkness, but you can't have darkness and light at the same time. Picture with me. Work your mind here. Picture yourself in a corner of a totally dark room. And then someone in the opposite corner lights a match, and it dispels the darkness. Maybe not a great light, but it gives some light. And that light permeates the darkness of the room. By its very definition, light is the absence of darkness. Every one of those lights I mentioned a bit ago drives out darkness. That's why when we walk into a dark room, the very first thing we attempt to do, that we want to do, is to turn on the lights, to drive out the darkness so we can see. John 12:35, Jesus says this: My light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Note that phrase, my light will shine for you just a little longer. Wait a minute now. Didn't we just say his light is not able to be extinguished? What does Jesus mean here when he uses that phrase, a little longer? Well, he's speaking to these people for a specific period of time. He said, me, Jesus, the light of the world, physically with you, won't always be this way. In Scripture, you will notice contrast between dark and light. Generally, light in Scripture refers to God. Anything good, anything righteous, anything holy, anything perfect. On the other hand, when you see darkness, evil, unrighteousness. Though the Bible says Satan, prince of darkness, he also masquerades as an angel of light. Satan knows, follow me now, Satan knows everything about him is darkness, and everything good is light. And the only way he can trick us is to represent good. That's why sometimes we can justify evil, because it doesn't look that bad to us. Satan makes it seem a little lighter than it is. You see these metaphors when it comes to light. For example, salvation. There are a lot of metaphors for salvation. When we move from unbelief to belief, from not knowing Jesus to being Jesus' followers, the Bible uses words like dead to life, darkness to light. It doesn't mean we're so full of light that we get it all right all the time, that we're perfect. But we are children of light. 2 Samuel 22:29, David says this in his song of praise. He says, O Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord lights up my darkness. Jesus lights our darkness throughout our life. Secondly, light reveals hidden things. Light reveals, darkness conceals. How many of you get up in the middle of the night, maybe to go to the bathroom, and because it's dark, you don't notice the toy one of your kids left on the floor? There's an article of clothing or a blanket in your path. Your bedpost is in the way. And in darkness, you try to get to the bathroom and you trip over something or you kick something or you stub your toe on something. And the only reason that happened was because it was concealed by darkness. Had a light been on, you wouldn't have tripped over those things. Had a light been on, those things would have been revealed. Light always reveals. Have you ever noticed things look different under the cover of darkness? Darkness conceals what light wants to reveal. Scripture tells us not only is Jesus light, but look at this in Proverbs 20:27. The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. Wow. God's light is like a laser. It penetrates. It goes into the deeper areas of our lives, past the actions to the motives behind the things we do or we don't do. God reveals those things. His light reveals those things. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but people in the movie theater business know you never go to a movie in the daytime because of those seats under those seats on that floor. They look entirely different in the daylight than they do at night. It's one of the reasons when you go into a theater room, the lights are never fully on. It's almost always pretty dark when you go in there. I don't want to describe what the floors look like or the underside of the seats look like. What this proverb is saying is this. There is nothing, listen to me, there is nothing we can hide from God. Even God's word is light. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Look at John 3, verse 18. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. When Jesus came, people who rejected him did so because they were not attracted to the light because of their actions. What they did, they lived in darkness and they ran away from Jesus, the light. They were living in sin. Darkness always represents sin. However, some were attracted to the light and began to live for Christ. Picture being attracted to the light and attracted to the darkness in the insect world. A roach hates the light. When you turn on a light, what happens? He runs for cover because he knows you're going to smash him. We all hate roaches. Don't come up here afterward and tell me that you really love roaches. I won't believe you. We all hate roaches. But think of a moth. A moth is attracted to light. Just cannot get away from that light bulb. We'll land on it and we'll stay there for a while and then we'll come off and we'll flitter around the light. It never leaves the light. The point I'm making is this, friends. Let's be spiritual moths, not spiritual roaches. We want to be in the light. We want to love everything that is of God. We want to love everything that is good. Here's the deal. Remember we said darkness represents our life before we gave it to Jesus? Then, because of that, we should hate the darkness, love the light. But what happens? When we're living our lives and we kind of flirt with sin too much, we dabble in darkness, it's so easy to get used to that, to get caught up in that. Have you ever gone into a room that is really dark? I'm talking about pitch black. At first, you're just groping around, not sure what you will run into. You can't find the light switch. It's so dark, and you're not used to the darkness. And then finally, you just stand there and wait, because you know if you stand there and wait long enough, your eyes will adjust to the darkness. And you'll begin to make out forms and objects as your eyes adjust. And actually, you begin to get a little comfortable in the darkness. At first, it bothered you, but now you're kind of enjoying it. It's quiet. It's peaceful. In fact, when you go back out into the light, outside that darkness, what happens? You kind of want to go back to the darkness. That's the way sin operates in our lives. When we are children of light, we should be attracted to light, the things of light. But the more we dabble in darkness, the more used to it that we become, the more comfortable we become in it. And when we are exposed to the light, whether the convicting light through the convicting light of God through the Holy Spirit or the penetrating light of God's Word, suddenly we don't want to read the Bible anymore, because it lights up those areas concealed by darkness. You see, God has a way of taking these little dark nooks and crannies of our lives. Even though we're really good at projecting a facade of light, we still all have these little areas we keep dark. But listen now. God won't let you do that because His light is so penetrating. He will zero in on those particular areas. And when He does, it will be painful. Just like when your eyes don't adjust immediately to light once they've been in darkness, so it is with your spirit. What happens is this. When God exposes those areas, it's painful. I can tell you from personal experience, often the areas of greatest spiritual growth in my life have been those times when God has penetrated, when God has exposed those areas of darkness and said to me, Dave, we need to deal with this. This needs to come to light. His light reveals those hidden areas in our life. So run to the light. My friends, run to the light. There is safety and security there. And then finally, light is transferable. Here's what I mean. How many of you have ever gone to a Christmas Eve service where they did candle lighting? We do it every year in this room. Recall with me how we get this room as dark as we can, except for one candle, usually held by pastor. Then that candle lights other candles, and then those candles are shared at the end of each of the rows of seats, and the light is transferred from that one candle to every candle, to every person in the room, and it lights up this place. You're singing Silent Night with the whole room illuminated because the light has been transferred from just one candle. That's a picture, my friends, of what is supposed to happen with us. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now watch this, Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. He is the big light, capital L. The one, like the one candle on Christmas Eve. He manufactures the light. He is the source of the light. Here in Matthew, he tells us, I'm transferring the light to you. You are now the light of the world, little L. We're to be like a city, all lit up. Ever come into Pittsburgh on an airplane at night? You can see the lights of Pittsburgh long before you land. Jesus wants our lives to be like that kind of light. We're like passing the torch in the Olympics. The light has been passed to us, and Jesus expects us to carry it on, asking us to let that light shine. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 8, for once, that is, in your former life, you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Our lives ought to be different than people who live without the light. This is important. Your job, my job, is to let our light shine. Understand, we don't do this in our own strength. I want you to clearly get this. We do not do this in our own strength. If we try, it won't work. Us trying to be good somehow, to be right and to be true. The light within us, that's the Holy Spirit, God living in us. That light produces things. Not you. We don't produce it. Not me. I don't produce it. You don't have to produce the light. You just have to let it shine. John chapter 12 tells us how this works. Verse 36, put your trust in the light while there is still time. That is, remember, while I'm still with you. Then you will become children of the light. What am I driving at? Just this. If you don't know Jesus, then put your trust in him while there's still time. We know life is short. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. There's stuff on my calendar for next week, but I don't know if I'll be there for them. And not even tomorrow. A lot can happen between now and tomorrow. We don't like to think about that, but it's reality. Put your trust in the light, then you will become children of the light. That's how it works. You don't have to walk in darkness any longer. You can have your sins forgiven. So the invitation today is twofold. One, and this is for people who may be in this room and don't have Jesus in your life. You don't have a relationship with him. And it's time to come out of darkness, time to turn to the light. I understand. I get it. That's not comfortable. It's sometimes very uncomfortable. But you need to do that. You have to do that. You have to admit this. Jesus, I have a lot of baggage. But I know you went to the cross to pay for that stuff, that sin. So I'm giving you my life. I'm coming to the light. And then there are many of us in this room, maybe most of us, who've already done that. But the truth is, and God only knows this, there are areas in all of our lives where there's a little darkness going on. And we've done our best to keep those areas dark, to keep that penetrating light away, so we can keep that darkness. We don't want the light shining on that because that's painful to confess and repent of that sin. But that's what we need to do. That's what we have to do. If we're children of light, we have no business dealing in darkness. That's our former way of life. Let's live in the light. And if that's where you're at, still having those areas of darkness, deal with that. So right now we're just going to pray. And as I pray out loud, I'm going to ask you to just allow God to do whatever he needs to do in your life. And we'll conclude with prayer. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for every person in this room who could have stayed home, but they're here for a reason. God, you want to do business with us. There are people in this room who are living in darkness, have never had the light of Christ, have never let the light into their lives. And the message for them is this: trust in the Lord while there is time, so they can become children of light. And if that's you, then I invite you to pray something like these words silently, or similar words. Jesus, I give you my life today. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins and for offering me eternal life and an abundant, full life right now. I accept your offer today. I want you to rule and reign in me. Then God, for others, we've already done that, but there are still dark areas in our lives. We've done our best to justify those areas, hide those areas. So today, Lord, I pray you would expose those areas to the light. I pray we would yield to the Holy Spirit today and you would rule and reign in us. And God, thank you for all you do in our lives. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for your word, which at times can be very painful, but is always truthful, is always what we need. In your name we pray.
Thank you for spending this time in worship with all of us here at the campuses of Charter Oak Church. We hope you'll join us next week as we wrap up the series In His Own Words. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church or any of the goings-on at the three campuses on Fry Farm Road, Crossroads, or Jeanette, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church.